John chapter 19, verse 5 will serve as my text. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns, the curse, a symbol of the curse, and the purple robe, of course they're mocking him as a king, that crowny thorn and or thorn, crown of thorns and that purple robe mocking him as a king. And Pilate saith unto them, to that mob, and this is a powerful statement, and I hope God enables us tonight to do this. Behold the man. The man. What was it Eve said when she had the first son, Cain? I have gotten the man from the Lord. Well, she didn't. She didn't. But this is the man. This is the man from the Lord. Now, it's no accident that Pilate examined him. And examined him and talked to him and examined him. Because I assure you, he was looking for a reason. He wanted a reason to put him to death. Because he was delivered of the Jews for that reason. And he was trying to satisfy them. And it's interesting, after doing all this examination, three times he says, I find no fault. In him, I can find no fault in this man. And the reason why he could find no fault in him is because he is the sinless man. You cannot find fault where there is no fault. Oh, he said, I find no fault. There was no fault found in him by God, by man, or by Satan. He says, Satan hath come and hath found nothing in me. There was no sin in him for Satan to get a hold of. But one of the reasons Pilate says this, he says it for us. Number one, God has this written down for us, his people. This just rings loud to us. I find no fault. There's no fault in this man. But Pilate wanted to let him go. He wanted to let him go. He knew that there was something. Listen, I can only imagine him sitting in that judgment hall. And here stands the Lord of glory. Here stands the perfect man. Here he is. And Pilate took notice of the way that he conducted himself. And the way he did not speak, he didn't accuse the Jews of any wrongdoing. He didn't open his mouth. He made no accusations. He had no complaints. You know, anybody that's been accused wrongfully and they've been brought before, you know, the judge, one of their first things is the complaint. There's no complaint here. He's quiet. You know why? Isaiah 53 said he opened not his mouth. Number one, he's fulfilling Scripture. And I'll tell you the second reason he didn't open his mouth. Because all those things are true against me and you. He's our substitute. You know, whatever judgment there is against me is true. I mean, I've committed everything, either spiritually, in my heart, or outwardly. I've done it, and you've done it. So he stands there, and he does not try to justify himself because he's standing there for a guilty people. The just dying for the unjust. That's what's going on here. But Pilate Pilate knows there's something different about this man from all other men. You know how many men have stood before Pilate and been condemned? How many criminals have stood there? This man's totally different. No man like this man. So in order to try to win the sympathy of the religious leaders, that is the leaders of the mob, Pilate has him scourged, whipped. And you know what that whipping was like that whip. It had all that bones on the end of it and had glass tied to the end, and they would just rip the flesh off of you. Just rip the flesh off. And he does this hoping to win the sympathy of a crowd. That crowd has no sympathy. God is allowing man to be man. And this is us. There, you want to see true humanity. You want a real insight into true humanity. Just go back to the cross. Go back to the judgment hall. Go back to the place where he was scourged by Romans who hated the Jews. They're like, oh man, this is a good day for the Romans. And they took it out on him. They took their hatred of the Jews out on him. But Pilate was hoping this would win the favor of the people, the sympathy of the people. You can't win sympathy where there's not any. And as I said, he was scourged, and he was scourged under Roman law, which was as long as they wanted to. You know, I was reading this, that many people they scourged before they crucified. Many of them died before they were ever crucified. They died there. They didn't even make it to be crucified. But our Lord said this, no man takes my life from me. No man. It is written in Isaiah 52, his visage, his appearance was marred more than any man. They whipped him till he was unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. He is beaten mercilessly. And then he's brought before that crowd, and Pilate says, behold the man. This really happened. What I'm telling you this evening, what you and I are reading, this happened 2,000 years ago. This went on, this event. Now, some suggested that this is Christ making this statement, because if you'll notice in the in that verse, Pilate is added by the translators. It says here, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and saith unto them, behold the man. Some believe this is the Lord speaking, and it could be. It could be the Lord speaking. I don't know, but I have no doubt that Pilate doing what he did to the Lord, was trying to win their sympathy. He's trying to win their sympathy. Now, what did Pilate see when he beheld the man, Christ Jesus? He had several hours. You know, this didn't go on for a few minutes. This went on for several hours. He was back and forth in the judgment hall with him and talking to him. What did he see? I'm trying to get into his head. I'm trying to put myself in his place. What did he see? Well, here's what he saw. First of all, a very, very real man. He did not see an image or a spirit. He saw a real man, flesh and bone. He saw a man bleeding, hurting, beat up. I'll tell you what else he saw. He saw an innocent man. I find no fault in him. This is the only man who lived out his life on this earth with no sin. Adam was created innocent. Adam knew no sin for a while, short while, I believe. And then he fell, but not this man. This man was tried in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan came and tried him when he was at his weakest as a man. He hadn't eaten. Hadn't eaten anything, drank anything. 40 days, 40 nights. Then Satan comes and tempts him. Turn these stones into bread. He had real hunger. You know, I've gone for a day without eating. And it just, I'm like starving. He went 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan says, turn these stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, you can eat. Do it. He didn't do it. He didn't. In all the trials that our Lord went through, he never failed one of them, did he? Not one. He saw a real man. He saw an innocent man. You know, Pilate said, I find no fault in anyone. We can find fault in anyone, can't we? But he couldn't find it in this man. Couldn't do it. And the reason he could find no fault in this man is for this reason. This man is the man of God's providing. This is God's man. This is the God-man. I'll get to that. Hebrews 10:5. And I've got a lot of scriptures I have written down. That is one of the blessings that I have found in learning how to type. Is I can copy and paste and write all these scriptures down and not try to quote them and remember how to quote them, you know. But I could write them down and they're right here in front of me. Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. That body, that man, that soul was created of God in the womb of a virgin. You see, the child is born because the child is created. The son's not created. The son is eternal. The son is God. But that child is born. And he's perfect. He's the man of God's providing. God provided this man. I'll tell you something else he saw. He saw a mysterious man. He saw a mysterious man. Pilate couldn't figure him out. Who are you? Where'd you come from? He knew there's something different about this man. Even his wife had a dream. And she said, don't have anything to do with this just man. She called him a just man over in Matthew 27:19. Don't you have anything? I've suffered many things this night in a dream because of him. Don't touch him. And that added to Pilate's dilemma. Her coming and saying that to him. Listen, 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Here's this mysterious man. And you know what's so mysterious about him? He's God. That, you can't say that about any other man. He is God. He's God. Now, what did the high priest see when they beheld him? You see, Pilate looked at him, then Pilate brings him out. Well, they even tried him, then they brought him to Pilate. And Pilate brings him out. What did they see? Well, here's what they saw in their minds, in their hearts. Here's what they saw. An imposter. A blasphemer. This is how they thought of him. Someone said this, there is no bigotry like religious bigotry. There's none to match it. None. No greater enemy to the truth than religion without Christ. They saw what they believed to be an imposter, even though he made it so evident that he's the Son of God. Would an imposter raise the dead? Lazarus came out of that grave. Would an imposter be able to give eyes, sight to the blind, enable a lame man to walk? You reckon an imposter could feed 5,000 more than once? But that's what They were so blinded by their own willfulness. They were willfully blinded. They didn't want to see. They didn't want to see. There's none so blind as those who will not see. And that's what they saw. To them, he was just an imposter. He was just a blasphemer. That's what they called him. Now, what did the crowd see when they saw him? You see, you got the high priest here stirring up the crowd. They are stirring up this crowd. And this crowd beheld him as he's standing there, mutilated, crown of thorns, purple robe, one of those robes that one of those high-ranking soldiers probably took off and put on him. Here's what they saw. And listen, this is the same crowd who cried Hosanna just a few days earlier. Same crowd. But here's what they saw. When they looked at him standing there, they saw a weak man. A weak man. They saw a mutilated man. They saw a disappointment. They thought he was the Messiah. They were ready to make him king. They were ready to make him king. What do lost people see? When they hear the gospel preached, what do lost people see? They see it a historical man. They believe there was a man, because you can't deny it. History has him, has his name in, you know, he's written in history. Jewish history especially. Josephus speaks of him. But they see a historical man. They, you know, a lost person here can hear me talking about Jesus Christ, and they don't really think of him as living right now, ruling and reigning. They can't think of someone who lived 2,000 years ago. They see a historical man. They see, I tell you another thing a lost person sees, a tragedy. They don't see redemption. They don't see redemption. You who believe, you see redemption. They see a tragedy. That's what they see. Or some see a good man. They think he's a good man. They think he had good qualities about him. But they see just a man. That's all they see, just a man. But what do you who believe? What do you and I see? What do we see? Behold the man. What do we see? Well, let me give you a few things that the believer sees. The first thing we see, and I'm not, this is not in order. Don't think these are in order. But we see this, the scripture fulfilled. Right there, standing, is the fulfillment of the Word of God. In Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Right? There stands the seed of the woman, promised all the way back into the garden. There he is. There's the seed of the woman. We see that. We see the scriptures fulfilled. Listen to Zechariah 6:12-13. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. There's the branch. I think Jason read it. It said, the branch shall grow out of the root. This is the branch. Listen. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple. The temple of the Lord. Now, don't think about the temple of Jerusalem being built over there, or temple being built over there in Jerusalem. It's the church. This man is building the church, which is the dwelling place of God. He's building it. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, the church of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. This man shall bear the glory. But before he bears the glory, he's got to go to the cross. He's got to be crucified. He's got to die. Then he's got to rise again and then fulfill this scripture. And shall sit and rule upon his throne. When? When shall he do that? Right now. He's doing it right now. Boy, that thrills. I can't tell you how much that thrills my heart to know the Lord is ruling right now. I can go to sleep at night because of this. I can literally sit down at night and I'm not tore up because of this. The Lord ruleth right now from his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. Not only is he ruling from his throne, guess what he's also doing? Interceding from his throne. He's interceding for us. I desire your prayers. Pray for me. Pray for me. This is a serious job or serious calling. But I sure do desire his, above all, his intercession for me. He shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Isaiah 32, 2. He's the hiding place. And a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. What tempest? God's wrath. That man standing there is this man's hiding place. There's no greater place to hide from God than in God. And that's who Jesus Christ is. There's no safer place. He's that tender plant spoken of in Isaiah 53. He's the child born and the son given and the government's on his shoulder right now. Right now. This man is the high priest. He's the only mediator between God and man. This man is God in human flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. This man is God incarnate. There stands God. Sheesh. There stands God Almighty. And the disciples asked one time when he calmed the wind and the sea, they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He's the God man. It was said of him, never a man spake like this man. That's because there's no other man who's God but this man. That's why. When he spoke with authority because he is authority. You and I have a little authority given to us. He is the embodiment of authority. He said, when he says go, he goes. When he says come, he comes. He says to a devil, get out, and he gets out. That's authority. This man is the creator of heaven and earth. All things were created by him and for him. This man did it. This man, Pilate. Behold this man. What else do we know about this man? This man standing there with a crown of thorns on his head, a purple robe, beaten with just his visage marred. This man is a representative man. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I died in a representative. I live in a representative. God, when it really, and this is so, God has dealt with the whole human race in two people. The first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam represented the whole all of humanity. And all of humanity fell in one man. That's the wisdom of God. Because this way, all whom God saved, the many whom God saves, are saved in one man. By one man's obedience, many are made righteous. I died in one and I live in one. I was buried in sin. I'm made alive in his righteousness. Oh, he's the representative man. And then this man is truly a righteous man. This man is what man was made to be. This is what man was made to be. Love God with all his heart. Worship God in spirit and truth. He said, "Thy will, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me." This is this is what man was made to be. And this is what we are going to be when we leave this earth. We are going to be just like this man, conformed to the image of Christ. He was truly a righteous man. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." A truly righteous man. Here's something else the believer sees. The Passover lamb. Here he is. Started back there in Exodus 12. When the Passover lamb was, that Passover was instituted. We come all these years later. And there he stands. John's ministry, John the Baptist, his ministry was this. It was this. "To say unto Israel, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Here is that Lamb that God provided. Perfect Lamb. It says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." And this man is the all-sufficient man. "I'm not sufficient. I lack in a lot of areas. I lack in all the areas that are really important. Love, kindness. I lack in those areas." I mean, you can go on. The fruit of the Spirit is all those areas I lack in. But this man's the sufficient man. Listen, Colossians 2:9. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. This man is all sufficient. He lacks nothing. This man is all that God is. He's all that God is. And then this man who is the Lamb, this man who is righteous, this man who's representative, this man who's all-sufficient, is a tried man. He's the tried stone, isn't he? Tried stone. I need to put that down there. He's the tried stone. "For we have not a high priest," Hebrews 4:15, "which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Have you ever felt like the Lord cannot identify with you and what you're going through? "Tempted in all points like as we are." All. Whatever it is. I cannot explain the depth of that. But there's nothing you'll ever be tempted with that he wasn't and overcame it. And overcame it. Matthew 4:1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil," to be tried of the devil. What do you think would happen if the Lord allows the devil, to try me and you? What do you think would happen? Well, we'd fall just like that if he doesn't stop it. We will. But here is a man in this wilderness being tempted, tried by Satan himself. You know, Satan, I mean, what are we to him compared to Christ? Compared to Christ, what are we to him? I know he'd like to bring us down because of Christ, but to take away the glory of Christ. That's why he wanted to take Job down. But Christ was his aim. Christ's the one he's shooting at. Well, I was trying to think of that one that says, fight with neither small or great, save the King of Israel. Get him. Satan wants to get at Christ, that man. That's why he said, let me have Job. I can take him down. I did Adam. He never took this man down. Tried and tempted. He can identify with us. And this man is the just man dying for the unjust that he might bring us to God. That's why he's standing there with that crown of thorns and that purple robe and beat up, lacerated all over. There's the just one right there. God in the flesh. There's the just one dying for this unjust one, that he might bring me to God and present me faultless before his throne and before the presence of his glory. And then this man, and I'll close here shortly, this man is the risen man. He's the risen man. Yes, he died. Crucify him. They did. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But he's not dead. He's not dead. That man's alive forevermore. And he's seated at God's right hand. In Matthew 28:6, the angel said, he's not here. He's not here. He's risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see. He's not there. Don't have to take my word for it. Walk in here and look. In Romans 4:25, Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He's not dead. He's the risen man. And this man is the resurrection. This risen man is the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm it. I'm already raised. Are you believe God, you believer, you believe God. You're already raised from the dead. God's already raised you when he raised his son. This man is all my salvation. Behold the man. Behold all your salvation. Standing right there. He's all my wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. As it says in Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him. I'm complete. I don't feel it, but I am. God said I am. I take God at his word. And this man, last of all, is the judge of the quick and the dead. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. John 5:22. Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. This man is the last man you and I are going to deal with. This man is the last man you and I are going to see. This man. Everybody's going to do it. Everyone's going to deal with this man, who is the judge of the quick and the dead. Behold, the man. Oh, that God would enable us to do it by faith. By faith. Behold him by faith. Because there's a lot of them who looked, there's a crowd that looked at him, never did believe on him. They just thought, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. What a phony. He's not a phony to us, is he? He's God man. He's God's man. He's the God man. He's all my salvation. Jesus Christ is all my salvation. And I'm going to hang my life on that. All right.